Gather around for a podcast first. With so many guests, this show might burst. Calling from coast to coast, we're joined by other Weird Al hosts. Spoilers for Albuquerque and The Prestige, and a movie called Multiplicity. Granny Smith apples, bread from a set. If you're gonna get married, better get the box set. It's time for a show to start now. It's I Think I'm a Clone Now on Weird Pals.
Welcome to Weird Pals, everybody. My name is Tim.
My name is Andy.
And this episode is a special one, maybe the most special. Back when this podcast was created, I went to the internet and I said, surely Weird Al podcast already exists. Let's make sure we start one that isn't just exactly someone else's show. So I listened to a whole array of shows and I decided, like, well, maybe this is slightly different in some way. And then I think we just turned into whatever else is also happening out there in the world. And since we started and Andy came on, other shows popped into existence. And now there's a whole wide family of people doing Weird Al podcasts. So why not call ourselves on the carpet and say we have cloned ourselves after perhaps the following people in this room. And let's invite them to an episode about I Think I'm a Clone Now. Andy, are you ready to help me introduce all of our guests for this episode?
Let's do it.
Okay. Usually I spend a lot of time researching the artists. Today I have only done research for the introductions. After the next 60 seconds, I have nothing to contribute to this episode. Sure. He's one of the members of Dave and Ethan's 2000 Inch Weird Al podcast. And sure, he started one of the first online Weird Al forums and started Al's Walk of Fame fundraising efforts. But most importantly, he attended the same school as Martha Stewart. Everyone welcome Dave Elvis Rossi.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, wow, you found the connection to my hometown.
Very nice. I didn't know that.
Sure. He also hosts Dave and Ethan's 2000 Inch Weird Al podcast. And sure, their theme song was actually performed by Weird Al and his band at the Poughkeepsie, New York show of the Vanity Tour. But most importantly, in 2009, he performed a stand-up show for what was called the ATV After Hours show, which seemed like a public access show of some time. And during his set, he had a joke, and this is the setup. What's the advantage of going to a Christian college? Do you remember your own punchline?
No.
The punchline is, you only have to buy one textbook. Everybody, it's Ethan Ullman.
That's good. That's really good.
Maybe not how I would have introduced me, but yeah, thank you.
In the canon of this particular podcast, that is how you are known forever.
It's a good joke.
It's not a bad joke.
That's a great joke.
I got to get that video scrubbed off the internet. If you're finding that.
Don't worry. There were, I think, 15 views last time I logged on. So
awesome.
I think you're safe.
Thank you. Excited
Seven
to be here.
Of them were you, Tim.
Yeah. Just freezing and reloading. Sure. She hosts the Beard Al podcast. And sure, her episode about I Think I'm a Clone Now features the beers Double Helix by the Thin Man Brewing Company and Two Is Enough by the Heist Brewing Company. But most importantly, she has been a member of the American Guild of Organists since 2003. Everyone, it's Lauren Carey Robinson.
Hello. Wow. I have been a member. I was in a guild. An actual guild.
I'm like very interested what is going to be brought up about me now.
I know. I got a little. It's like, it got a little scared in Tim, a dating
yeah.
Tim.
Sure. He co-hosts the Weird Algorithm podcast. And sure, according to the website, he currently has I Think I'm a Clone Now ranked as his top favorite Weird Al parody. But most importantly, He helps create the Horror Movie Night podcast and produces the Disneyto podcast, which means he probably has had to watch the Little Mermaid remake twice. It's Matt Kelly.
Hey, I'm here. And I actually don't hate that remake that much.
Haven't seen it yet.
Called it right. Called it right.
And lastly, sure, he also hosts the Weird Algorithm podcast. And sure, in 2020, he played through all of Weird Al's songs consecutively on bass guitar, lasting just over 12 hours of streaming. But most importantly, once, he's performed all over the world for Weedus and other musicians, but once he performed with MC Lars opening for T-Pain, it's Matthew Milligan.
Good find, good find. I wish that the listeners of this episode could see the stunned faces of all of us as you have come through these intros, because everyone, just the look of shock and horror is just as wonderful. Amazing research. Really well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm really glad you didn't find that murder that I committed. So that's good.
The word on the street is the police haven't found about that one either.
Yeah. No, Sting is completely oblivious.
That's a different episode this season.
The Council of Weird Al podcast hosting has commenced. Thank you, everyone, for joining.
thanks for having us. What a great idea.
Now, this is exciting. Lauren has been on this podcast before. I have met Dave and Ethan in person, in the flesh. And these other two Matts, I don't really know who the hell they are. But welcome.
Yeah, I haven't met, just really quick, I haven't met any of you guys in person, but I was at that Poughkeepsie show where the Dave and Ethan theme song got performed live. And I sat in my chair going, there's no way anything that cool will happen to my podcast. Bravo, guys. It was the most amazing, even from my perspective to you guys, I couldn't believe it. It was just the coolest thing ever. So congratulations right out the gate for that. That was wild.
Keep having those dreams, Milligan. Keep having those dreams.
I mean, I'm going to keep dreaming. I like to be a realist about these sorts of things.
I mean,
things,
Matt,
you know?
Didn't you technically play on a track that Weird Al was featured on?
Well, sure.
Like,
I did.
That's a pretty big achievement also.
I guess when you put it like that. I don't know. The moment I was sitting in Poughkeepsie, that felt way cooler when I saw that.
Do you live near us, Matt, or were you just in the area?
I live in New York City.
Oh, cool.
Me and a couple friends drove up just because it was the first show of the tour, and I personally love the weird first show of the tour where things go wrong and everything's just a little weird, and I'll absolutely delivered in that way. Yeah. Yeah.
And the scary thing is that Lin-Manuel Miranda was also at that show, so he got to hear our theme song perform live as well.
Oh, Paul I didn't Rudd know too. That. Wow. Paul Rudd, too? Yeah. Wow. Star-studded evening.
Folks, this is how we're going to attempt to function.
Yeah, please explain.
a normal Weird Pals podcast goes, the first person will talk about the artist that is being parodied, and sort of like a run-through of interesting things about them. And then the second leg of the show is talking about Weird Al's parody and contribution and relationship with that art. And then the third leg is sort of a conversation about generally like the topic of the parody song. So for this show, it would go something like, I would talk about Tiffany, Andy would talk about Weird Al's cover, and then our guest would talk about probably like cloning or something like that. But all of us are here, and I've done exactly all the research I'm going to do, and you've heard it already. So what we're going to do is we're all going to participate in all of those sections in a plan that is so horribly ill-conceived that it's going to work out great. So as we open into leg number one, we're going to be talking about the artist Tiffany. Now, if you have fun facts about Tiffany, we will attempt to sort of like pass the conch shell around and share the things that we've learned and comment on the things that we've learned. Does anyone want to get the ball rolling?
I need to have something I need to say very quickly, like right at the jump. The day that we're recording this podcast, in enough serendipity, on today's, literally today's episode of the Kelly Clarkson Show, her Kelly-Oki was I Think We're Alone Now Tiffany.
Oh, man.
So,
leap day, y'all. Yeah.
Well, I also think that Dave, behind the scenes, had sent an email that is an important clarification, so I feel like we should give Dave the first conch shell to get us started on that. Because there's also a fun fact tied to his fun fact. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so actually, I think We're Alone Now is a, of course, the parody that Weird Al is doing. He's parodying Tiffany's cover version. And I say cover version because it was originally a song by Tommy James and the Shondells. And it was also covered by multiple other bands as well. But the version that Al covers on the Even Worse album is Tiffany's version.
Which is noteworthy because obviously Moni Moni on the same album is also a cover of Tommy James and the Shondells.
And I got my mind set on you, not Tommy James and the Shondells, but also a parody of a cover. So I think the only parody of an original song on Even Worse is Fat.
Lasagna also on that record. Yeah. Lasagna, which is at the time it was the Los Lobos cover of that song. Yeah.
So it's just wild. That whole album, it's all parodies of covers.
Man, I almost feel like you should share the story that you have of a friend auditioning for Tommy James while we're on this.
I told this story on our show, but a friend of mine, this is like a friend of a friend, but I heard this story firsthand. Of a guy who went and auditioned to play bass for Tommy James and the Shondells. And he was waiting in this waiting room. All these people were auditioning. And one by one, people were going in and playing for like 10 seconds and then being stopped and being like, you got to go. You're done. Like no time at all. And this guy was sitting there going like, oh, my God. Like he was like, what are they doing wrong so fast on this song? And he could not figure it out. And he goes in the room finally. The first song they're going to do is Moni Moni, and he starts playing it, and he's going. Tommy James is not stopping him, and he was like, oh, my God, this is happening. This is happening. And then they get to the pre-chorus of the song where it's the, you know, the call and response. I said, yeah. And Tommy James does the thing where he looks to my friend and kind of moves to the side of the mic, given the sort of, like, he thought he was getting the look of, like, you want to do the shared mic thing, like Bruce Springsteen and Little Steven, like, sharing the microphone. And my friend walked up to the mic to do the call and response. Yeah, the second he did it, stop. Thanks for coming in. Oh. He did not get the job. He did not get...
So, Tommy's mic is Tommy's mic.
I know. He thought so much that he was, like... Thought he had it, but no. I have no insight on Tommy James other than that story. He's very particular about his microphone and his bass lines.
Wow. What is a Shondell?
That's a great question.
It's not his last name, so it's just like, where does that come from?
I got no answer.
We'll never know. Okay.
No answer.
No, there is no answer.
The world may never
know. According to Urban Dictionary, a Shondell is a very funny, tall guy.
Oh. Great.
Well, now, I guess so I could be a Shondell.
Weird Al.
Yeah.
Alice Shondell. My guys. Nice. With that alone, we have done our service for this episode.
We've etched new ground here.
Wow.
So that's then the first time that Weird Al actually parodied himself then, if he's Shondell.
Yeah. Wow. There you go. Absolutely.
Before we get to Tiffany, while we're still talking about the original one, the original, I Think We're Alone Now, was written and produced by Richie Cordell, who then went on to co-produce I Love Rock and Roll.
Nice.
Was Richie Cordell a Shondell? Did he own Adele?
They're warring factions.
No, Adele.
They're like the Hatfields and McCoys.
Okay.
I think, we collectively as a group, I assume, would know. Is this the only time? I think it's the only time Al parodies the same. I mean, again, technically he's doing these covers here, but... two Tommy James / two Richie Cordell songs on a single album. I don't think he's ever done that twice. I don't think he's ever done that again. He had the same artist.
Unlike on Poodle Hat,
on the same album. Yeah.
He does Couch Potato, making fun of or parodying Lose Yourself by Eminem. And then Eminem features again in the Angry White Boy Polka. So there's that.
Yeah.
So a polka feature and a parody, but not two. There's two parodies in a row.
I think it's just that.
Well, because we're partial covering... credit. Yeah. We're about to start doing Alapalooza, and we've discussed how that has technically two Peter Gabriel-style parodies on it.
Arguably
with Talk Soup and Waffle King. But again, that's not the same as parodying two songs on the same album, two songs by the same artist on the same album.
Yeah.
I have a spreadsheet somewhere about Weird Al artist density regarding parody, pastiche, and polka.
It's REM, though.
So
REM's
if you'd like my data.
That, right? I think that's what I checked. There's more than REM? Because I thought... I think REM's in two or
Pharrell.
Three polkas.
Pharrell and Mick Jagger really? Are the most. If you're covering all areas, it's Pharrell and Mick Jagger are tied. Yes.
Wow. Well, Mick Jagger got the Hot Rocks polka that covers.
Does that count like records that Pharrell produced or just ones where he has where he sings around?
A featured artist at least on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Man, we've been saying false information all this time on our show.
Yeah. You should have referenced my weird algorithm.
That's shameful.
Listen, the best thing about algorithms is that they're sometimes wrong.
That's the best thing about them.
And weird.
Dave, continue where you left off.
Okay. Actually, I'm going to jump back and fill you in a little bit about the Shondells. Says that Tommy James renamed the band the Shondells because the name, quote, sounded good, and he named it in honor of Troy Shondell, who was famous for the hit This Time in 1961.
Okay. Now we know.
Cool. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess if we're going to shift over to some Tiffany factoids, there is a documentary about Tiffany also called I Think I'm Alone Now. I think it's called I Think I'm Alone Now, which is about her reoccurring issues with stalkers. And it's a very questionable documentary because the producers definitely bring the stalkers to Tiffany signings, which seems like a questionable decision for documentary content, for sure.
That's a big nope.
Yeah. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Ethically
that's wild. I have a Tiffany fact that is movie related that might be slightly more uplifting than the stalker thing. So I love this because it kind of went around in circles and kind of wrapped into a place, and I got very excited. I fell down a rabbit hole researching for this particular fact, and so I was very excited about it. Tiffany voiced Judy Jetson in 1990's Jetsons, the movie. And so then I went looking into this because I wanted to see who the rest of the voice cast of the movie from 1990 was. So George O'Hanlon, who was the original voice of George Jetson, voiced George Jetson for the majority of that film, but he died in 1989. So the film was released posthumously, and the remainder of his character's voice work was finished by Jeff Bergman, who coincidentally also replaced many of Mel Blanc's characters after his death in 1989, including Cosmo Spacely in Jetsons : the movie.
Whoa. Wow. Sounds like that dude was killing old voice actors.
Yeah, that's a serial killer for sure.
Yeah. You got to follow the money on that one. Wow.
I was like, wow.
No,
okay,
that's amazing.
That's pretty rad.
I found that, they got Tiffany to voice Judy Jetson, which apparently proved to be controversial because the original voice actor of Judy Jetson, Janet Waldo, she'd already recorded all the dialogue, and then she was replaced with Tiffany because they thought that would attract a younger audience. It did not.
Oh, wow.
That movie bombed severely.
Wow.
That's what I didn't even know about it until this. And it's like Tiffany, first of all, famously with the red hair, and then Judy, not so much. Like, I don't understand. Yeah. I don't get it. But yeah, so anyway.
I have some other Tiffany in movies facts. She was in a collection from 2009 to 2011 of just like some of those D-list horror movies that are like straight to Betamax or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Necrosis. These movies sound wild. Necrosis, which is about a group of friends trapped in a cabin during a snowstorm and are haunted by the ghosts of the Donner Party, or are they just going insane?
Wow.
Mega Piranha, obviously in the same vein as Sharknado. Also starring Barry Williams, who played Greg Brady.
Oh, wow.
The Brady Bunch. And Mega Python versus Gatoroid. Wow. Which also starred Debbie Gibson.
Yeah.
That was like the appeal. And they have a fight scene and it's incredible.
I'm so sorry. Gatoroid?
Yeah,
Gatoroid.
I have the same question.
Yeah. I didn't look too much into the movie to know.
Is it like an animatronic gator or is that like a roided out gator?
That'd be my guess.
An android alligator.
Or a hemorrhoid.
Or that. Yeah.
Or a hemorrhoid.
A gator that can't sit down.
I haven't seen that particular one. I've seen enough of these types of movies that it's probably just some made-up ancient dinosaur version of a gator. And they were just like, I don't know, call it a Gatoroid. That's fine.
Yeah. Wow. No, I see it right here. Megapython versus Gatoroid. And on the cover, it's just Debbie Gibson and Tiffany are the only two names. Wow. Well, that's I'm glad to know this exists.
Well, maybe that's like those are the names of their professional wrestling alter egos, and it's just like a WWE night.
Which one is Tiffany? Do you think she's the Megapython or the Gatoroid?
Oh boy,
she's the Gatoroid.
Yeah,
let's face it, because she was much more manufactured than Deborah. Debbie did all of her own
industry
stuff. Tiffany was a very like industry plant to be the Debbie Gibson. To be a foe to Debbie Gibson. So if anybody's going to be a Royd, it's Tiffany.
Tiffany.
It's not Debbie. Don't come for
me. It's not Android. It is a different kind of Royd. Yeah. A hammer, if you will.
Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah. Big asphalt.
On the Tiffany front, I want to go a little bit of a twine balls. The biggest ball of twine in Minnesota is located in Darwin, Minnesota. And I think we could arguably say that if you're from Darwin, Minnesota, you're Darwish. Well, Tiffany's last name is Darwish. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's a pretty strong connection that I felt necessary to bring up.
That's good. I like that.
Man.
Only other thing I just thought of to mention is this is another funny one where Al does the parody of this song. And then later on Icky Breaky Song, he slams Tiffany as being one of the many people he would rather listen to than the Achy Breaky Song. A rare, like, he is, there's a couple references in that he are people he has parodied in the past, but she got nailed.
She got owled.
Just gotta throw this out there too real quick, because I am still sitting on the Wikipedia page for Megapython versus Gatoroid. And that movie also features Mickey Dolenz from The Monkees playing himself.
Playing himself.
Oh boy. Oh, Mickey Dolenz. Oh my gosh.
I think we're all gonna have to go watch this movie and get back
to
and have a bonus episode about it or something. Yeah. But on the subject of I guess Tiffany connecting with other subjects that Weird Al has sung about, she was actually on the show Star Search, where she finished second place in the host of that show,
Ed McMahon.
You can always tie it back to Al. It's always possible.
Yeah, screw the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, there's no need. Yeah.
It's like it's almost like his songs are about pop culture.
Yeah.
No, they're just about
Go
food
figure.
And nothing else. We all know that.
I learned accidentally that Tiffany was the youngest woman to get a number one album on Billboard's, because she produced, she recorded and produced her debut record when she was a sophomore in high school.
Whoa.
So round robin style. What were you doing instead of making your gold first record as a sophomore in high school?
I was first chairing clarinet in marching band. that's about it.
I played a guy named Mortimer in a play called Lily and the Felon's Daughter.
My high school band recorded our only album. No
Ooh,
one.
That's a good one.
You recorded an album?
I mean, not well.
when you say high school band, do you mean like the side project or just like the class band?
No,
the
side project. Band. Like I played drums.
See, that's what I heard. Oh, yeah. When I heard high school band, I was like, oh my God, your marching band guys recorded an album?
Just me and two other guys playing bad songs that we wrote that sounded like we really listened to a lot of Blink-182, because at the time we did.
So you and Tiffany have that in common.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think she sold a few you more
both cut
copies
records in sophomore year.
I had to rap in a school play written by my drama teacher.
Ooh, do you still remember the words?
I think I do.
All right, well, I guess you got to perform it on the spot now.
I hope I don't blank on anything. So it was a play about hazing, because some kids got hazed for homecoming at my school, and my drama teacher was like, I am going to satirize this, and wrote a play. So I just play a wannabe Eminem type, and let's see. Homecoming's coming, drums are drumming. All the other candidates are totally bumming. I'm a freestyling master of disaster to the others. But hey, peace, I'm kidding, they're actually my brothers. But they'll envy me when I start to flow. Yo, 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 yo.
Wow. Nice.
Oh, wow.
I can't believe I still remember that.
You just reminded me that on that album that me and my friend's band recorded, I did do a rap song about the writing of the Constitution. And it sat on a Dropbox, like it just sat in like a file on my computer until Hamilton came out. And then I immediately put it on the internet and was like, he's a hack. He's stealing from me.
He'll be hearing from my lawyer.
Yeah.
One more Tiffany fact, yeah, before we get off of the topic of Tiffany, is that after her first album, she went on a tour of shopping malls. And my wife let me know that she played near shopping malls near, well, where she grew up. And my wife declined to go see Tiffany in a shopping mall. She thought it was a little bit too corny.
Which was infamously parodied on How I Met Your Mother with Robin Sparkles.
Yeah. So.
That's right.
And Tiffany was actually in the Sandcastles in the Sand, the second Robin Sparkles video. But it's interesting to think about, right? Like how Tiffany kind of made her thing touring shopping malls. And that is totally not a thing that could even, you'd even think about happening today, right? Shopping malls, there's YouTube channels about dilapidated shopping malls, which by the way, like I totally get sucked into because they're all like vaporwave and stuff. And I'm like, this is just like mesmerizing. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's so great, right? And so, and sad. But like, what would even be the equivalent of that today? Like
a tour of an Amazon warehouse.
but no, really, would it be like pop-up ads of your music on like e-commerce sites? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's no equivalent of what Tiffany did today. You know, we can all kind of chuckle about it now. It's like, oh, she toured shopping malls, blah, 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 blah. But, like, there's nothing. Like, where do kids go? Where do kids even go now?
As a high school teacher, I can speak to this. It seems to be only boba tea shops. That is it.
Really?
Interesting.
But, I mean, you're in California, right? So, like...
Is boba tea not a thing anymore?
No.
I see a lot of... Whenever I go into the Starbucks, there's usually a pretty large gang of teenagers in there. So maybe that's what coffee shops.
So would that be? But oh, there you go. You know, then are they replacing? I don't know. This is just me. I'm like waxing poetic now, which is, I guess, what you do in a coffee shop. But like what would even be the there's no equivalent. There's nothing that is this. No.
Wasn't there a band who performed in Fortnite? Isn't that kind of that's where the kids are?
It would be that,
I guess. Lady Gaga is in Fortnite now.
Yeah.
She did a whole thing about it. And I'm like, Lady Gaga, what are you doing? Lady Gaga, you don't have to do this. You are Lady Gaga. What are you doing, Lady Gaga?
It's Stephanie. They do a tour of TikTok memes. Like, they just...
really, probably true.
I was
going
to say, I mean...
Wow.
You're here. Your band's like career got a whole second life because someone sped up Teenage Dirtbag and threw it on TikTok.
I know. It is just a reminder of how random and chaotic the whole universe is, guys. Just don't. You can work really, really hard, and some random person will speed up a 20-year-old song. And
you're saying that Weedus wasn't at some like clandestine meeting forever ago, and on the back of a barroom napkin it says like TikTok sped up millions of dollars.
Yeah. No, because the funniest thing was that we had launched the podcast like literally the same week that thing happened. Like the challenge happened on TikTok, and I just remember Matt scrambling to get Weedus onto TikTok because they didn't even have a TikTok account. while it was happening, and they're like, oh, no.
That was like the first social media platform where all of us were like, I think we're too old and tired for this, and I think we should just not bother doing it. And then that happened, and it was like, okay, well, I guess we need to get involved then. Yeah.
It's madness. Yeah. It's really madness. Is. So I guess that's what it is, you know? And like there's so much less control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, than there used to be. You know, Tiffany had people controlling what she was doing. You know, they put her in these malls. I'm like, yes, it was kind of bedlam.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, because you know, but there's more restraint on that than just kind of throwing something out into the internet. And like, what happened to you? Like 20-year-old song sped up. Well, now look where we are. You know,
yeah, it's true.
Nuts because you followed me on Twitter like before that happened. And I was like, do I remember this band? And then literally that happened. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, what is going on here? So like my brain had to do like the whole thing. So like you were very front of mind for me when that all occurred. So I was very cognizant of what was occurring when it was occurring.
Less sure,
so
yeah.
Me, of course. But I was like, wow, okay, this is wild. But like, you know, I'm going off on a thing now. And
that's
I'm
okay.
Sorry, but this is what I do. This is like, but like it's. You know, we all know because we are the people who talk about Weird Al the way that we do, where he asks before something happens,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing will happen unless an artist says, like, okay, yes, this can happen. So there's nobody that Weird Al would touch that would have a moment like you had was like, that's my song, just faster on TikTok. Now, like, what is happening?
Yeah.
You know, like. And so, like, where are we?
Well, that's
with,
the thing
with
that,
this. Like, where's it's weird.
So like, one of the I host too many shows, and one of the shows that I host is about one-hit wonders. And you're also tapping on a question of like, what even is a hit in the 2020s? Because like the idea like the idea of like everyone goes to the radio and like these 30 songs are unavoidable. Like now, the number one song in America half the time is what song is being used in the most TikToks that like. The average person our age never hears like, and that's also why I don't think Al's going to do another. I think it's going to be harder and harder for Al to ever do another album because of that. Like, what is a global phenomenon hit besides like an Old Town Road or something that was just so ambiguously massive across generations? Like now every single generation has their own specific pocket of what they're listening to and everything else is a mystery.
There is nothing. You're absolutely right. There is nothing. Which like so like we couldn't have there couldn't be like a the next Weird Al now because culturally we're not set up for that. And that's why it bugs me like when you look around it's like, oh, you know, insert artist here is, you know, this generation's Michael Jackson. It's like, well, no, like nobody is, right? Because like that's a whole nothing is on that level. And so nothing is this generation's Weird Al because let's face it, we're not set up.
The closest you would get is honestly like a group, and they haven't put out a record in like 10 years now, but like people who are doing things in the same vein as Lonely Island or a Bo Burnham where they're aping a specific style of music, but they're not.
But it's specific.
Yeah, it's very specific.
It's
not all encompassing like Al could do.
I think we're just we got very lucky with the when and the where and the why we are where we are. And we all got to appreciate this one white hot moment in time. And I love that we now have this platform to reflect on it. So we have derailed enough. Tim, Andy, please get us back. Sherpa us to where we shall be.
Well, just to summarize, like Generation Z, get your shit together.
Yeah. Please.
That's basically
literally get stuff into the same room.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get your poop in a group. Yeah.
Bring malls back.
Yeah, exactly.
I would love that.
All right. Leg two of this endeavor has begun. Leg two of our show is when we get into our nitty gritties and we talk about what Al did with Tiffany's song, either like his personal interactions or like how it was recorded or any of those fun bits, how often it gets performed and all the interesting decisions that Weird Al makes as soon as he gets the yes from Tiffany and her camp.
I'll start.
Let's do it.
I took this really seriously. I went to John Bermuda Schwartz and I said, do you have any little known tidbits about I Think I'm a Clone Now?
Yes. Ooh,
here we and go. So he said, nope.
All right. All right. Because this has been my Roman Empire is this song and how much I love this song. And I've said on the podcast when we covered I Think I'm a Clone Now, I said it to Lily Hurst, who wrote Weird Al Seriously, because I was like, you need to redo that book and cover this one specific topic that I'm obsessed about. And that thing that I'm obsessed about is that I Think I'm a Clone Now is secretly the most autobiographical song Al has ever written about himself. And I point specifically to the bridge when he says, I'm signing autographs for my fan. They come to meet the carbon copy man. I'm living in stereo. It's all right. I can be my own best friend and I can send myself a pizza. And I really think, what is Al as a parody artist but a carbon copy man? And I'm right. Like, I think that he is tackling a lot of his... You're coming right off of the failure of Polka Party. Like, he's at his lowest level. And this song at its core is kind of sad. It's about being famous but alone. Like, I think that this is the most sincere autobiographical Al Yankovic song ever written.
That wow. And then Albuquerque.
And then Albuquerque. But that's mostly about how much right. He hates sauerkraut, clearly.
Right, right.
Obviously, like, yeah.
Spoilers! Come on.
Spoilers for Albuquerque. For those of us who haven't gotten to the end of Albuquerque.
I'm 1 minute away!
Exactly.
I know. My husband actually put lyrics from Albuquerque in our wedding vows, so...
Oh, wow.
That's a keeper right there.
I used yep.
to... Wow. No, well, mine were from Jackson Park Express. His were Albuquerque, and I'm just... Well, I'm really glad we didn't land on the same Weird Al lyrics for our vows, so that was...
Oh, like that was a surprise moment. You didn't know what the two of you were going to do. I love that.
No,
oh, that's
no,
great. That's
no.
Great.
When I was in high school, we would describe how long a car ride would be based on how many times you could listen to Albuquerque. And we're like, it's about three Albuquerques away.
That's incredible.
I would put Albuquerque on when I was driving home from work, and I would try to beat the get home before the song ended. It would always be a race to see if I can make it home before the song ended. I'm going to put myself out here and say I have an embarrassing lyric that I misheard in I Think I'm a Clone Now. And for years, I always thought that the part, the very beginning of the song where it says, what would people say if only they knew that I was part of some geneticist's plan? Mm-hmm. I never really fully heard him say the word geneticist, and I had thought he said part of Edison's plan, as in Thomas Edison. And I was for years confused because I had no idea what Thomas Edison had to do with cloning, and I never bothered to look it up. I just thought it was one of those facts.
Well, interesting, because I can make a connection to cloning from Edison.
Ooh. Okay.
Edison had the rivalry.
Is a clone?
Is a clone, yes.
Edison had a rivalry with Tesla, and that is a big component of the movie Prestige,
yep.
The Prestige,
true,
with Hugh Jackman
yeah.
and Christian Bale. And what happens at the end of the Prestige? We learn that Hugh Jackman has been using Tesla's machine to clone himself and murder his clones. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Spoilers Jeez. For the Prestige.
Yeah, there's a lot of
I've actually never
before.
Seen the Prestige.
We've
and
now,
I don't
we've now spoiled the Prestige and Albuquerque. Yeah.
So I'll put stuff at the beginning of the episode.
So now I'm questioning myself if it really is geneticist or if it is Edison.
Al wrote the Prestige before the author of the book
oh,
that it's based
man.
On wrote the Prestige.
There it is.
Dave, you're describing what we call in the Weird Al community as a Gosner. Because of
That's
the
right.
regularly misheard
yes.
lyric,
I yep.
Gosners.
I did
Gosners.
That. What's a Gosner?
Yeah, for a very long time.
Yes. I think I've said this on my show countless times, and I love throwing myself under this bus because I think it's a beautiful bus, and I think it speaks to, you know, just kind of owning the way that your brain works. So, Dave, thank you for doing that as well, because it's important to own the way our brain works. I would say 5 years ago, tops, I was driving down Beach Boulevard in Jacksonville, Florida, listening to I Want a New Duck, as one does.
Yes.
And the line, show me how to get down, how to get down, how to get down, baby. Get it? Happened. And I literally went, oh, my God. I get it. I'm like a 30-something-year-old woman at this point. And I'm like, oh, my God. It took me that long. And then I pulled over and cried because I was embarrassed at myself alone. But like, I think that's so cool because, yeah, like, that's one of those things. Like, so many of these things are super obvious to so many people. But, like, sometimes you hear things, like, especially having heard a song, like, from a kid, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, it just kind of exists the way it exists yeah. in your brain until you, like, click those puzzle pieces together. And I was like, oh, my God. And it took me way too long for that particular puzzle piece because he literally says, get it? And I'm like... I screamed to myself in the car, I get it!
Well, it's like with One More Minute. It's just like, you know, I heard that for the first time when I was a kid, so I had no idea what he was saying when he said, I have to use the self-service pumps.
Yeah.
And now as an adult,
yeah,
it's like,
that's a lot.
Oh, that's, yeah. that's blue, Al. That's blue.
That's the bluest. That's yeah. the bluest
we
go.
That's about as blue as it gets for yeah. Al, yeah. I was going to say another example of that is in this song where I was way too old before I got the every pair of jeans is a hand-me-down line. I really did not understand. Like, I just assumed he was talking about blue jeans.
Sure.
And then only later on I was like, oh, of course, he's way more clever than that. Yeah, I love that line. But no, young me did not get that at all.
Yeah.
Do you want a really dumb fact that I yes. have about
yeah,
this song?
Of course.
Okay.
Only dumb facts.
So, like, obviously this, you know, he's parodying the Tiffany version. But I needed to find a way to connect the song with Weird Al in some way. So I was like, yes, Tommy James and the Shondells, the original you know, artists of this song. Their debut album, Hanky Panky, was released in 1966, which is the year that Al got his first accordion.
Love that. I love that.
That's my connection
so much
between
fate
the song
going
and
on. So much fate.
So much fate. My gosh.
Tommy James and the Shondells earlier in the year, like June, come out with My Baby Loves the Hanky Panky. And, you know, and then a couple months go by, Weird Al gets an accordion. The rest is history.
That's it. That's it.
There's got to be like, now, here we are. With me having no research or no evidence, there's like, in my brain, there's 100% chance that Al has covered Hanky Panky on that accordion. When he was a kid, like, it would sound so good. Like,
thank you, Hanky Panky accordion.
Here's a little fact. I mean, it's kind of a stretch, but I guess. Well, I've got more that are more of a stretch. So this one is not a stretch. I'll say.
Oh, start as we can. We'll pull a muscle if you have to go with the last one. So ease us in.
I'll start with a stretch, and then I'll give you one that's less of a stretch. This is the fourth song of Al's on a studio album that features a contraction in the title. Okay, so now
wow.
that's a fun fact,
wow.
but here's a better one.
I'm glad I'm sitting down.
You're an English teacher. You should appreciate that.
That's, yeah. Amazing.
So this song technically charted on the Billboard charts at 27 because it is part of Even Worse.
Right. Oh, wow. 27?
27.
Would anybody, gather to take a guess how many times this song has been played on the Dr. Demento show?
27.
No.
No.
No. You're close.
I am.
1966.
Is it just under 20, 25?
You're very close. It's been played a total of 24 times. Wow.
We got to call Dr. Demento and get him to play it a couple more times.
We've got to get
the
request line open and get at least three more episodes.
It's also one too many because 23 would be a perfect number for a song about genetics.
Yeah. That's true.
Yes.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, maybe 23 and me?
Yeah. I was also just going to note, just really quick, this song, you mentioned it earlier, but this, as best, according to Setlist FM, unless someone of you guys know differently, this song has never been played live by Al or the band, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was a single.
Yeah.
It was something of a single, yeah. I mean, it didn't have a video or anything like that, but it did get pushed to radio. Weird Al and his band have played the theme to Dave and Ethan's 2000-inch podcast more times than this song.
I would argue that that's easier to sing than this song.
That probably is easier to sing, to be fair. Certainly for Al, easier to sing.
It's shorter.
And shorter.
So you did mention this was released as a single. The B-side was, this song's just 6 words long.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Also a contraction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the third one.
Also a parody of a cover.
And also a parody of a cover, yeah. Yeah, Even Worse, interesting record. All those, the parody choices, we talked about it a lot. We were just like fascinated by those choices.
And no polka.
No. And no polka.
Even worse is such a. It's a weird thing that exists. It's just I'm. Your podcast listeners can't see what I'm doing with my hands.
I'll describe it. It's weird. Almost like you're massaging some sort of orb.
Right.
Yeah. You're like doing. I will tell you what, like pottery.
Right. I'm massaging an orb. If it helps. I have a copy of Even Worse on my wall, like right in front of me. And so, like, my hands are kind of doing the thing with that, right? It's because it's right there. But I'm looking right at it. And it's so strange.
But I think it might be my favorite of his albums.
Isn't it strange? It feels like I'm looking in the mirror. Like, I mean, what, do you hate polka?
No, I actually really love polka. I'll listen to non-funny polka. You don't have to roll up your sleeves all the time. But, like, but I don't know. This was like an album. So with like what Matt and I show, we're ranking every single song and we're ranking all the albums and we're ranking all the polkas and all the different stuff. And like
in chronological order.
And before we did this project, this would have been like, in my mind, I would be like, yeah, this has some good songs. It has some bad songs. When we like did the episode, I was like, I think this album's as flawless as a Weird Al record comes as far as the quality of everything. Like,
and that's one of those things that happens. Like when my brother and I started our show in 2020, we started by ranking the songs on the albums and the albums. And we did all of that stuff. My brother had all these spreadsheets and stuff like that. And we got pretty far. We weren't doing it in chronological order. It was like, what do we want to talk about today? So it was like throwing pins at us. So we're like, we're just kind of all over the place. But I feel that because we had to periodically re-rank things.
Yeah.
Because our opinions change. Yeah. Like we got to a certain point, and I'm talking about Even Worse in particular. So we got to a point, it was like, why the hell is Velvet Elvis so low? Like I yelled at myself. Like I think I cried about it. I was like, what did I do to Velvet Elvis? Like, why did this happen? And, you know, so then I had to like kind of rethink stuff. And Beard Al has gotten, we're not really doing ranking things anymore because like y'all are doing that. Like that's wonderful. And like, we're just kind of like not in that space with it anymore.
Sure.
And that's, my brother was a spreadsheet guy and he's gotten busy with like his kids and stuff. And I was like, okay, well, you know what? You keep your numbers. So I'm just going to I'm going to go with my
gut. Let me tell you, if there was one thing I could do differently about the show that we created was at the time that we were doing the show, we said, you know, it'd be really funny is every guest ranks whatever song that they picked against other guest songs. And then Matt threw out the idea of, and they should be able to move one song in the guest ranking however they want, which at the time was a hilarious idea. The second we recorded anything out of order, it became a logistical nightmare.
Oh, shit. No, it's too much. You can't do it.
So now we're like on a standstill until this one guest records this episode because we're afraid to move forward. We're just like, I can't do that again. I think both of us had meticulously written notes of every song and where its placement was when different guests did stuff. And then we still got it wrong. We're like, nah, this is awful. This is a nightmare.
At one point, I basically screwed it up and I had to go back and just re-listen to the end of every episode we ever did to just recalibrate the whole thing from zero.
Good.
That was a great day.
Yeah. So that's why I gave up numbers.
Yeah.
I no longer have spreadsheets.
I understand.
I understand.
Meanwhile, we've pitched the dumb idea of like, hey, we're going to finish all these Al albums soon, and maybe our next show will be Green Data, where we do it with all the Green Day songs. And
That's funny.
There you go. Yeah.
I'll keep tabs on that in my Fleetwood Mac.
Andy, we've gotten this far into the show without you telling us how long the track is.
Oh, I didn't research that.
Andy.
Hold on.
I could hop in.
I know that.
Wait.
Let me do my sound drop.
Wait a minute. I'll go check.
Thank
nice.
You.
Okay.
Oh, that's really good. That's really good. All of us should have
that. Anytime I've got to look something up, it's a...
Wait a minute. I'll go check.
Because we have to do that.
I love that.
All right. It's a whopping 3 minutes and 17 seconds. There we go.
Yeah, we know now.
I was going to guess 3:10, so all right.
Pretty close, yeah.
It is my favorite parody song, Matt. I've listened to it quite a bit.
Yeah, Matt, when we did the ranking thing, Matt just dropped... Well, he dropped that wild theory about it being autobiographical, which left me completely speechless. I still don't even know what to... Like, it's mind-blowing. The more I look at the lyrics, the more I'm like, I think he might really be onto something there. And I love the fact that it's actually... Like, even the fact that you talked to Bermuda, like, at least in terms of the numbers, it feels so, like... Even for them, it feels unremarkable, right? Like, it's just one of those things that they've done. Like, I think it's really good. I love it. But it's, again, like, no live show love. It's just, people don't talk about it that much. It's just not a thing. But
it's too painful.
I love that theory.
It's too real.
Is that what it is? Al can't play it without crying.
Yeah, it's like those bands who won't play their big hit because it pulls on something internally.
It's Elton John, Candles
in
the Wind.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. There you go.
One candle. There's one candle.
Well, or two, because it's cloned.
Diana.
I was
going
to say, there has to be two. There's one for Diana, one for Norma Jean.
Wow.
One thing I've been really pushing, it just in casual conversations, I'm not like, calling up people and actually pushing it, but the same way that we got the unfortunate return of the ridiculously self-indulgent, ill-advised vanity tour, I would love an underground kind of parody tour where we could get this song and some of the other ones that maybe us and the other fans really love that didn't necessarily chart or aren't, the edits of his catalog. Yeah. I would love that.
My version of that is my frame of reference for that is there was a band from Philly that was only famous for being a band from Philly, but they did a reunion show many years afterwards. And the reunion show sold out, so they added an afternoon show at the same club. And for the afternoon show, they just handed us note cards and pens and told us to write down what songs we wanted to hear and just throw them up on the stage. And they would just pick up the note cards. But it also backfired because they'd pick up like a note card and be like, yeah, no, we can't remember that one. Next.
I was going to say, Al and his band, they can't do that because all of us insane people would just... Everyone would be trying to stump them. There'd be no, we'd be like, go ahead, come on, like, school cafeteria, let's go.
Brain freeze.
How the most obscure things we can possibly ask you to play.
10 minutes of silence from Off the Deep End.
Followed by Bite Me.
That's a request. Oh, my God.
So we talked a little bit about how... I Think We're Alone Now has been covered by multiple different artists, including Tiffany, of course. Does anyone have any clue as to which artist has covered I Think I'm a Clone Now?
Oh, wait, no, that was Lasagna. I was like, I feel like we discovered that there was a cover.
Oh, someone's covered I Think I'm a Clone Now. I don't know that.
I know the answer, but I'm not going to, because it's
no, by all means, you got to
go for it.
Well, Dave, you told me.
Still counts. It still counts.
That's not fair.
This proves that you're a good listener.
No, it's, I think a lot of us know him. It's the great Chad Kelson, a.k.a. Metal Al, did a great cover of I Think I'm a Clone
Now. Off of his album, the parody album. It's a wonderful listen.
If anyone hasn't heard Metal Al, he is fantastic. Metal covers of Weird Al songs. Yeah,
that's
fantastic.
I'm definitely going to have to check that out.
MetalAl.bandcamp.com. He's wonderful.
Oh, and it was Taco Grande was what I was thinking of. Taco Grande, we found out, was covered for a Ratatouille tribute album.
Like an expanded Ratatouille soundtrack.
Oh, that's great.
And it's like a straight, it's changed. Like, the music is really different. Like, it's not, it's oddly, like, the parody of, it's a cover of the parody, but it's lost a lot of the Rico Suave stuff. It's a really bizarre thing to hear. Like, it's just a wild, like...
Is it like a French accordions or something like that?
No, it's almost more modern. Like, it's got, like, a, like, more electronic... Like, I don't know. I can't even remember.
Like
I just remember thinking
it's like a Kids Bop version of Taco Grande.
It was just a whole other degree removed. It was like he removed more of the original, the Rico Suave thing, and now it was just like a new, it was crazy, yeah.
Does it still make you want to eat tacos, though?
Well, of course.
Because... Just hearing the word taco makes me want to eat tacos, so yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, because there's been more than one occasion where I've been listening to Weird Al in the car, and Taco Grande comes up on shuffle, and I don't know what I'm making for dinner that day, and I would literally go, well... against ramen tacos. And that's what happens. We were talking earlier about how like social media has changed and shifted and been the place. I have made a TikTok. Ooh. But it's not for my show. It's for my husband and I go out to eat. And I do TikToks of our foods. And it's a very chaotic restaurant review TikTok. Like, I'm not good at it. Like, I'm like, look at this. It's a talk, you know? And we went to a Mexican restaurant around the corner of our house, and TikTok has Taco Grande as the an option that you can put for music to the background of your TikTok. So I put that to my TikTok of my taco video, and I thought nothing of it because I'm like, it's Weird Al. It's a taco song. I got some feedback about how it's like, you know, this song is appropriating Mexican culture, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, y'all, can we just have fun, though?
The flip side of that is, did you ever read what the original lyrics were to Rico Suave when you translate them?
Oh,
like,
no.
Huge.
I've done a whole thing about that. I am very well aware of Rico Suave.
That's what I mean. It's like when we had Lily Hirst on our show, she was like, this is one of the few times where he saved a really misogynistic song by making it just stupid and silly. Like,
yeah.
Oh, Lily's the best.
Crimes.
She's great.
Yeah.
Word crimes. Yeah, another big one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, tacos.
Now I want tacos. Damn it.
I know, right?
Sorry.
Oh, don't be sorry. That's a good thing.
I just wanted to mention, with Weird the Al Yankovic Story and Oprah being a character in it, this song is the first time Oprah's mentioned in a Weird Al song on a studio album.
Oh.
Is that true?
Is there a second appearance?
Syndicated, Incorporated, and...
Yep.
Couch Potato.
I didn't write...
I'm pretty sure Oprah's mentioned. Maybe not. I don't know. There's so many TV ones.
Yeah, I just looked up to make sure that this one was the first. I don't know. I can't remember which ones the other ones are off the top of my head.
There's so many TV references. Syndicated, for sure.
Yeah, definitely Syndicated.
Yeah, yeah.
In a previous episode of this show, Andy tortured me versus Nathan Rabin about he would just list a TV show, and then we had to compete if we knew what song it appeared on.
Oh, man.
And one of us did very bad.
Oh, that's a fun trivia game, though,
that is good.
I bet.
Yeah.
So you're right. Oprah was mentioned in Couch Potato.
Right. Very good.
And I think, as well as Syndicated, Incorporated, and I think I'm a clone now.
Now there's Oprah density.
Yes.
It's right there, she's.
Yeah.
The third leg of this show, we got to talk about the...
Gosh. Wow.
Okay, what? How many Oprahs is this? We're
if
up to four
love,
Oprahs?
Also has an Oprah.
What is the plural of Oprah? Is it Oprah?
Oprah. Oprah. It's definitely Oprah.
Oppress. No, not that.
Yeah, the grand old Oprah.
The Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah's
that
Winfrey.
That sounds like an alien race. It's the Oprah Winfrey. No, they're coming for you.
All right, before I try to transition for a fifth time, does anyone have any more Oprahs?
We're just
Oprah
making
Winfrey?
You clone this transfer. Whatever, you, joke failed. Just cut that.
The effort was there. A for effort.
Yeah.
It was an Oprah Winfreudian
sword. Very good.
Oprah Winfroyd versus giant Perantula. Now it's time for leg three of the show.
No, wait, I got one more.
God damn it!
I'm just kidding, Tim. Go. Okay.
Who's got facts about cloning out there?
Oh, I've got facts about cloning.
I do.
Oh, we got more than one. Can you imagine? All right. Dave, hit us up with the first one, and we'll hit Lauren second.
So I'll admit that... for research, I asked my wife, who is a doctor, to fill me in about cloning, and she got very excited and filled me up with facts about cloning, so I can go on for a while.
I was on the text thread, too, so I could go on, too.
Yeah. I'm going to start off with my favorite of all of the facts that she shared with me is the first clone cat was named Cece for carbon copy, and she was cloned from a calico cat, but she was just gray, and that's due to how the calico color is expressed in cats.
Interesting.
Oh.
It's so interesting. I don't think I knew this. I don't. I'll be here right out the gate. I don't know much about cloning.
What?
I know. I'm sorry, but I didn't.
Well,
think I
thought
actually,
you were here as the. You're not here as the cloning expert.
I was.
You're the second Matthew to join the chat. Oh. So I just assumed.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I didn't realize that carbon copy specifically. I mean, I've heard that as a term before, but I don't think I knew it actually applied to cloning specifically. I thought that was just Al having some wordplay. That's even more interesting that that's maybe him referencing an actual thing.
Unless he invented the term.
Well, I assume that cat was cloned before Al wrote this parody. Although I could be wrong. I don't know. Do we have a year on that?
Yeah, what came first, the cat or the paper?
The cat had to have been cloned after the year 2000 because Dolly the Sheep wasn't cloned until 1998. Yeah.
But I did. I was kind of curious about like when cloning became popular in popular culture, and I couldn't find like a specific this was the first time, but a lot of the things that I pulled up cite it, the book Brave New World is one of the earliest versions of cloning being discussed in fiction. So it's been around since the 30s at least.
Yeah. I'm currently wearing a Orphan Black referencing shirt, if people know the
nice.
Shirt Orphan Black, combining it with Inside Out.
Wow.
Love that. I mean, look, I don't know too much about cloning, but I know that I like the show Clone High, and I'm glad that it's back. So
that was a good show.
So, I mean, watch the new seasons of Clone High on Max, I guess.
I'm so behind on those. Clone High was like... a very important show to me in high school.
It
helped bring me up. I can still quote so many, like every episode.
It's wild when you learn, like I'm like an obsessive commentary track listener. So I'll listen, like I'll buy DVDs just to listen to the commentary tracks. Mm-hmm. And I learned that with the show Scrubs, they basically just had this abandoned hospital that they used for everything. And because Bill Lawrence was also producing Clone High, to save money, they just set Phil Lord and Chris Miller in the basement of the hospital. And that's why so many Scrubs cast members are on that show. Yeah. It's just on their breaks, they take the elevator down to the basement and be like, who do you need me to voice?
I mean, Krista Miller was the original Cleo.
Yeah.
She's Bill Lawrence's wife.
It's a great show. That's the most I know about cloning, is that Clone High USA was a really good show.
It made me so happy when Miller and Lord won an Oscar for the first Spider-Verse movie, because it's like, oh, look how far they've come.
And they would bring up Clone High constantly. They're like, we just want to become famous enough to bring back Clone High. And then they did. those crazy bastards did it.
I love the end game sometimes. It's like sometimes you got to do a whole bunch of weird stuff to get your little pet project back. I'm still waiting for that to happen with Freaks and Geeks, but I don't think that ever will.
The closest you'll get is Undeclared. It's as your second season of Freaks and Geeks.
On the popular culture of clones, Star Wars, obviously, clones are a big part of that. And when I was just Googling, I think I'm a clone now, it seems like a lot of Star Wars fans have really latched onto the song and made fan videos and that kind of stuff. So it's kind of kind of a neat connection that I can't imagine Al would have had when he recorded this song.
Yeah.
It strikes me as unlikely that there would be any crossover between Weird Al fans and Star Wars.
Right?
I can't.
Finally,
I
there's
don't have
a
time
bridge.
To wait for anyone to cite any evidence.
We finally found this really tenuous connection.
I mean, it's just
that
two
is
songs.
Stretching it, Dave. That is way too stretched.
It's too stretchy. I need to say something very important. So I got married last March, but I am having my wedding reception in March of 2024. I don't know when this episode is coming out. So either it is going to be happening soon or has already happened. Either way, what a great time. Anyhow, I literally have friends coming to my wedding reception dressed as stormtroopers.
Nice.
Wow.
They're not telling my grandma about that. So that'll be fun to see what my grandma thinks. Stormtroopers just start coming. they're real 501st, like people like doing all that stuff. But the one, my one friend, our friend Forrest, hey Forrest, he has this punk rock stormtrooper costume that he does where he made a whole vest and it's got the patches and it does like punk rock themes on like Star Wars stuff, and he put a mohawk on the stormtrooper helmet and things like that, and it lights up the mohawk on the stormtrooper helmet. And so that's what he's wearing to my wedding reception, and it's going to be beautiful. And I just felt like I needed to mention that because Star Wars came up, and this is happening in real time for me in like a week and a half. So I'm like goosebumpy, yeah. Excited.
Congrats.
About a week and a half. Congratulations. Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. No, we've been married for almost a year, but like the party is finally happening.
It makes it official.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your grandma's unfamiliar with Star Wars?
My grandma's 93, so probably.
So when the stormtroopers walk in, what do you imagine she thinks it is?
Oh my word, Lauren, what is that? That is what she will say. I was like, that's my friend Forrest in a costume. Mm. That's what, you know, she'll understand. But I do have a Hawaiian shirt for her to wear. I'll be putting that on her, because everybody, we have friends that like have, we're fans of the Roosevelt's shirts. And so like, although that whole situation. And so I have one for her to wear for that. And, my husband and I and his kid and like my mom and my dad, we're all wearing all this crazy stuff. So yeah, it's not going to be like your normal wedding reception. It's going to be like a weird party with stormtroopers at it. I think one of my friends might have a thing. It's a Star Wars thing where he is blue, like he's just entirely blue,
like a Twi'lek, so, or a Watto. I don't know.
I guess I don't know, but he's like, do you want me to go all blue? And I was like, you do blue if you want to. If you feel like you want to eat cake blue, keep do it. I'm like, have a good time, my friend. So that's what's happening.
He actually was asking if he could do filthy comedy at the wedding.
All right.
Oh, there you go.
Go blue, go blue. Go blue.
Just say the same self-service pump joke over and over again.
Exactly.
There you go. Yeah, no, we got a bunch of Weird Al tracks on the set list. We're not taking any requests. We have a whole thing going on.
Love it.
So. I didn't mean to plug my wedding reception. I just
no, that was great. We're all going to be there now. Yeah. We will see you there.
Right.
Road trip.
Well, no, but like, if you wanted to come, you could come.
You have all of our emails.
If you're looking for a bunch more stormtroopers, you just we're ready to go.
Okay. Well, show up. It's next Saturday in Florida. In Florida, show up. I have a cloning fact, though. Do you want
that?
Sure,
of course.
Yes.
The rest of the show will be cloning fact, wedding reception fact, wedding reception fact.
Great. All right. Yeah, I'll shut up about my wedding reception. But this cloning fact I'm very excited about. So scientists have attempted to clone extinct species using DNA samples. And the Pyrenean ibex is an example of this. So the Pyrenean ibex went extinct in January of 2000. And it was common in like the south of France and like that whole area of the world. And they tried cloning it in 2003 with, again, preserved DNA samples. And a specimen was born alive. But she died shortly after birth due to a lung defect. Hmm. And that means that the Pyrenean ibex, it's a kind of goat, by the way. The Pyrenean ibex is the only animal to, one, be brought back from extinction, and two, go extinct twice.
Wow. I love
that.
That's
great.
I was very nervous at the start of that. I'm okay with using cloning for recently extinct animals. I thought you were about to get into some Jurassic Park stuff here. Yes. And I was like, have they not?
I know. It's a reason.
Have they not seen a movie or heard a Weird Al song before?
Yeah, exactly. So,
though, that's fiction. It's going to go fine in real life.
Yeah. But, yeah. Like, come on. Like, this goat. Like, I really went, like, I hunkered down in research, you know, because, Tim, you sent these questions out, and I'm like, I'm gonna get some facts. I'm gonna bring some facts to these people. Mm-hmm. And I went into cloning. I was like, what do I even know about cloning? I don't know anything, you know? And then I found this Pyrenean ibex thing. And then I got like really like emotionally invested in the Pyrenean ibex. So like justice for the Pyrenean ibex, like we'll see what happens.
Listen, anybody who listens that does bar trivia, like as a career, like what is the only creature to go extinct twice? Great bar trivia question. Yeah. Now
that is
I already
true.
Forgot it too.
Some goat creature. Some French goat.
Tyrrhenian
a very
Ibex.
Fancy yeah. goat.
Pythagorean so, IMAX.
A triangle movie that I saw that one yeah. time.
If I could piggyback off of extinct animals potentially being brought back with cloning, has anyone heard of an organization called the Frozen Ark?
No.
No,
I have not.
But I'm intrigued.
Yes. They do biobanking, which is essentially just collecting the DNA of endangered species and deep freezing the genetic material in order to preserve them and study and, you know, potentially, I guess the end goal would be to, like, bring them back if they do go extinct. Yeah, so they just, they're created jointly by the Zoological Society of London, the Natural History Museum in London, and the University of Nottingham. And are funded through donations, but at the same time, their website doesn't necessarily give like a history of like who started it and why they started it and all this stuff, which kind of makes me think there's some secret stuff going on behind the scenes.
Isn't this like the start of the Resident Evil franchise?
Yeah.
Just like pretty what much. You're describing.
Yeah, it's a good much. Thing. They want to help the Earth, but at the same time, they will be responsible for its destruction. So.
Hitler's brain is definitely being kept alive
just
in the jar.
Like
oh, jeez. Oh, jeez. No. So staying on the topic of firsts and clones and animals, my wife also shared with me that dogs are very difficult to clone, and the first clone dog was named Snoopy. That's spelled S-N-U-P-P-Y. It was an Afghan hound in 2005, and it was involved... And it involved 123 female dogs as surrogates. And only one pup was produced, and he was later bred to a pair of cloned females, resulting in 10 puppies. But here's the really interesting part, is that Snoopy was later cloned, making him the first clone to be cloned.
Ah, they multiplicity.
First clone of a clone, yes.
They did. He got Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Was he named Michael Keaton? That's great.
So, wait, Snoopy was spelled S-N-U-P-P. It was spelled
S-N-U-P-P-Y.
Snuppy?
Yeah, it's spelled like Snuppy. It's a combination of S-N-U, which is short for Seoul National University, and the word puppy.
Okay. But pronounced Snoopy. So,
but pronounced Snoopy, right. Yes.
I got to throw a dog reference in there as
yeah,
well.
I guess. Yeah.
Put it all together.
I choose to pronounce it Snuppy though. It's like I would,
oh, yeah.
Snuppy's cute yeah. enough too. That's fine. Snuppy.
They can't tell us that's pronounced Snoopy.
I feel like the documentary Multiplicity told us that it's not a good idea to clone a clone though.
Like, that's true. If we all learned anything from Multiplicity.
Hey, four was thriving. Okay, he got to deliver pizzas at the end. Spoiler alert.
Spoilers for Multiplicity.
Gotta
add
write
that to
these
the list.
Down.
Well, I mean, just speaking as a you know, an elder millennial, if you ever got a ditto of a ditto of a ditto in school, like you couldn't read the test.
That photocopy quality yeah. so poor.
Yeah.
I'm a young millennial, and I thought you were talking about Pokemon.
I there was a minute where I was like, is there a problem if I catch too many dittos on Pokemon Go that I wasn't aware of?
Oh, no. Am I too old for this show?
No, I'm just dumb and slow.
There you go.
I've just rediscovered that I enjoy still playing Pokemon Go, even though everyone else abandoned that app.
It's still like the first... app advertised when I open up the app store to like update everything. It's just got, why are you still trying to sell me this? I want it.
And the reason and to again to piggyback off of what Lauren just said with the ditto of a ditto and a ditto and how the quality gets lower and lower is the clones have shorter lives because the telomeres in the cells are shorter, and you clone from the cells of older individuals, so the cells start out as being older. So they're sort of they have shorter lifespans. The clones.
Interesting.
Wow,
that's yeah. sad.
That is really yeah. sad. That's actually the most damning fact about cloning yeah. I think I've ever heard. Wow.
You can't keep doing it, man. You just
yeah,
can't
you
keep
can.
Doing it.
Guys, we got to do something about this.
Yeah. To the Ark.
I love my dog, but when he goes, I'm not about to clone. You see these people trying to clone their dogs after their dogs
like
die.
Like Barbra Streisand?
You know? Yeah, yeah. I was like, look, I love my dog. I have an 8.5-year-old Doberman. and he's got arthritis in his legs, and he's like, I can't walk around. I'm disabled. I'm like, what kind of disabled? And he goes, leg disabled.
Wait, if you ever watch IT Club,
that's funny. Yeah. He goes, I'm leg disabled. Why? That's what I imagined him saying. And, you know, I remember him being like super fun and vibrant and all that stuff. And then I'm getting these like joint supplements. I'm like, I'm going to bring him back. He's going to be the Troy that I remember him being, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, you know, I've got an old dog, and this old dog is going to old dog on me at some point.
Yeah.
You know, soon.
I don't want to also spoil the movie Pet Sematary.
But sometimes they come
just saying, watch out.
Which version? Which version? They end differently.
I mean, yeah. We're not going to spoil any version of Pet Sematary.
Well, no, you don't want to go down that road.
There you go.
Pet Sematary 2 is the superior film. Someone dies from potatoes.
What?
Oh, no.
I got to see that now.
Yeah. Does anyone have any extra facts about cloning before we get to the tail end of this experience?
I have a cloned fact about cloning, where if you clone a clone, that it degrades the cloning of the clone. And it's not as good as the original clone. And this was a bad fact, so I think that's also true to form.
It was great, and it was shorter than the original one, great. So it really follows the form.
Like how no one mentioned weed. I don't know any weed facts when it comes to cloning strains, but whatever.
Oh. Well, oh no, oh, well, all apples are clones.
I heard that. Yeah. Right?
Really?
Like a Granny Smith apple? You can't like plant seeds from a Granny Smith apple and make more Granny Smith apples. Like you have to like go from the original Granny Smith apple thing to make it happen. Hmm. So I don't know how I don't know how the hell they make all these apples, but like you can't plant Granny Smith apple seeds and make Granny Smith apples.
Yeah.
Look it up. Look it up. Wow. I don't know. This is just, I'm like, oh, I'm going to grow an apple.
Was that the dog? Was that your dog?
He was like, I don't know, you're a grown
animal. I love imagining this world where we've finally hit the point where science can clone anything, and someone's like, mother, you know how many apples we could have?
Like, so many apples! Like,
the apples will never be ending.
Wow. No, you're right. I just looked it up. Today I learned all Granny Smith apple trees are clones, grafted, not grown.
Thank you, Matthew Milligan.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's a great fact.
Granny Smith are my favorite apple, which is why I make sure I know that, because if I could just grow Granny Smith apples, then I would be set, but I can't.
You can't.
They're clones.
You can't.
Who's got this? It's Granny Smith apples are a racket.
I love Granny Smith apples.
Yeah.
So tart.
They know what they have. They're hanging on to it.
That Granny Smith. Australian, right? I think.
It's Australian. That's Australian. What I just said here. Yeah. Presumably owned by a woman named Granny Smith.
Mm. Yes. The original Granny.
Yeah, exactly. The original Granny.
Every single Granny has been cloned from that particular Granny Smith. Mm-hmm. That is another true
That's
fact.
Incredible. So crazy.
Learn that on 23andMe. For apples.
And I'll wrap up the animal clone facts from my wife, that there are some animals that can clone themselves. Female snake, sharks, and Komodo dragons are among the
sharks?
Animals.
Sharks? Wow.
Sharks
that can clone themselves,
like just
Sophie. Only female snakes and sharks and Komodo dragons, correct? Males can't, correct?
Lauren's getting this look in her eye.
Yeah,
I'm unclear if the female is describing just the snake, or it's meant to describe the snake, the sharks, and the Komodo dragon.
Does that mean they just reproduce asexually, or like? Another them just pops out of their body.
Well, you know, to quote Jeff Goldblum, life
there it is.
Finds a way.
There it is.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, because I read like there was news that like a stingray somewhere one that doesn't have a male companion is suddenly pregnant. So either it cloned itself, or we have this is the second coming. A stingray.
Messiah stingray.
Sting Jesus.
There you go.
don't tell Sting that.
Oh, yeah. I know. That's the last thing Sting needs to hear.
See, went back to how I quoted the police before. See?
That
full
was
circle.
A great circle.
Done.
You brought it right around.
last call. Last call for any things from any parts of the show. And you're like, no, this wasn't fun enough. I skipped over it. But now is the time to circle back, as they say in the corporate world.
I did, like when we were talking about Clone High earlier, I did find some stuff. I don't know how many people have this, but apparently on the new version of Clone High, there's a character named Topher Buss, who is a clone of Christopher Columbus, but he changed his name because Christopher Columbus is very problematic.
Yep.
apparently, there was a theory that Topher Buss is actually a clone of Weird Al. And and there's also just, I found a lot of like fan art of Weird Al drawn in the style of Clone High, which is very strange. So I think they only say like Topher Buss is a clone of Weird Al because he also has curly brown hair.
Yeah, well, that's all you need.
That does it.
That means I was a clone of Weird Al when I was a kid because I had curly brown hair. Now it's gone.
As we start to wrap up this show, I would be a fool if I didn't ask questions that were specific to the art of hosting a Weird Al themed podcast. So I have like some rapid fire questions for all.
Great.
And just know that your answer will be recorded for all of time for our audience of like half a dozen. So just remember all that.
Great.
What is the most difficult part of your show to communicate to guests?
The guest ranking portion. Screen share has helped a little.
For us, we occasionally like to have our guests say the entire full name of our podcast. And for us, it's getting our guests to actually say the entire name of our podcast correctly. It's a very long and difficult podcast name. It's Dave and Ethan's 2000-inch Weird Al podcast. We wanted to make it as difficult as possible for people to remember, so we made it as long and wordy as possible. There's ampersands and quotation marks in there. It's really crazy, but our guests almost never get it correct on the first try.
And for me, it's just that even though the show is called Beard Al and my whole shtick is that it's pairing beer with a Weird Al song, that doesn't mean that anybody who comes on my show absolutely has to have a beer. That does not mean that. That just means that that's my shtick.
Mm-hmm.
I have people that are like, I don't drink. Can I still come on the show? I'm like,
it's your dog again.
Yes.
All your guests are dogs.
I'm like, yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. No, you absolutely can. And you know, there are some times where I'm not particularly thoughtful about the beer that I have on my show. And there are times that I pair it really well with the song that I'm talking about. Either way, that's my shtick, not yours. Mm. And so if you want to, you know, have a root beer, that's fine. If you want to drink water, that's fine. You can come on Beard Al and do whatever you want. I'm the only one contractually obligated by my own contract to do what I do. So thank you.
That's right. Love it. Next question. What's your favorite longest running bit?
The guest rankings.
Wait, about the show or just in general?
Inside your show, what's like a long running joke that maybe you don't even remember its origins anymore? It's just a thing that happens now.
That's a good one.
We have a couple things that kind of confuse some of our newer listeners that we mentioned. I don't know how deeply I should go into them, but one of the things that we say is Gill and Chill. And a lot of people are like, what is Gill and Chill? What is that? And that came from when we were talking about Isle Thing and we made a joke on Netflix and Chill. They were Gill and Chill. So that's something we say and like people just, it kind of goes over their head. And then, I don't know, Dave.
Not only is it something you say, but you sell merch with that written on it.
We have merch available. We don't necessarily sell that merch.
That's a great distinction.
That is a great distinction. I like that.
So the real answer for Weird Algorithm, and this, we're going to finish the story in a couple days.
But one of our first guests to ever come on our show is my friend Jim, who when he was in elementary school built a text-based Weird Al game that at the end of the game you would unlock a Weird Al parody that he had written himself in fifth grade. And it's been on an Apple One floppy disk, unable to be played. And we've contacted a computer museum in New Jersey.
A vintage computer museum.
Who's letting us...
Man. Is having us in.
To test run this game.
Amazing.
But it's been like a full year of us being like, we have to see this game.
Possibly even more than that at this point. Matt Kelly lives outside Philly. I live in New York City, and we are meeting up in Red Bank, New Jersey, along with the guy who made the game.
Represents.
Yeah, we're gonna. I mean, we're not sure. Like, we might pop this thing in, and it might just be completely dead. But, we have no idea, but we are willing to gas up the cars and give it a try.
And my one friend is a documentary filmmaker, so I convinced him to come and film it. And I'm like, if the game works, we can make a documentary about fandoms out of this. But if it fails. Yeah. We'll just pretend that this didn't happen and we had a great trip to Jersey together.
Yeah.
If it fails, we have our own Al Capone's vault.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's totally empty. That's what's so cool about Weird Al superfans is they seem to be so creative. There's so many stories kind of like that of really amazing things that Weird Al fans have created.
Yep. So true. That was that same guest on another episode randomly just one day. He's like, oh, yeah, I made a movie trailer for Nature Trail to Hell once. I was like, what? You just came up with that? Why are we not watching it right now?
And he pulled out his VHS tape. He's like, I have it right here. And I'm like, bring that to my house so I can digitize it.
Yeah, it's incredible. That's a really good observation. Al fans are really, really creative people. So true.
You're making me feel like I don't have anything, like, great to contribute to this. My podcast is in a weird, like, season of flux right now. You know, I started the show with my brother and then seasons change, life changes, people change. And so now it's like, this is me and my show. And thankfully, I've got my husband who has been a Weird Al fan longer than I've been alive. So that's sweet. And that's why I married him. I married him because he had the box set, the vinyl box set. So that's where I got the shirt.
You gotta find someone with the box set.
Yeah, that's it.
My mom keeps on telling me that every month. You just gotta find a nice girl with a box set.
A nice girl with a box set.
Right, box set. Yeah. So, but like if I'm thinking truly about like jokes and like long running things that kind of happen on the show, a lot of it truly is like what happens in flux though? Like, where are you at? Like, what carries over like seasonally with all of these things? And so for me, it literally is the running joke that I married my husband because he had the Weird Al vinyl box set.
I love that.
And I'll tell you, that didn't hurt.
Sorry.
Yeah. But that's not why. But it's funny because if you go back in the archives of my podcast, there is a conversation with me and my husband talking about the Weird Al box set before we got married.
There you go.
And him being like, well, maybe you'll get the box set one day. And lo, now it sits in my... And hooray. It's very fun if you, so again, it's fun to kind of like roll back in the archives of my show. I think that was I want to say late 2001-ish that episode came out at some point. And yeah, it was wild the way that happened, because like we met through our podcast. Like, I'm not even like ashamed to admit that. Nice. Like, that's the thing. Like, I met my husband because we had podcasts about music, and like now, like, there he is. I've got all this Weird Al in my house. I'm like, there he is. Like, this is what happens. And it's great, but it's because of Weird Al. And so that's the running joke, if I had to have one. It's like, yeah, I married him for the box set, but I kept him because he kicks ass.
Love it.
Thank you.
Side benefit.
I've got one last question for this speed round that we've going through. This is we're all friendly people, so this is not a competition or a measuring contest of any kind, but a piece of merch that you have that you like because of its like quirkiness or weirdness. It could be like obscurity or like it's unique because it's like it's bespoke perhaps, or it's just got like a it, some ridiculous history to it, but some physical object.
Oh, if we're going to go into the collecting universe, you're going to need a much much longer episode. Because,
I know. I'm dipping my toe into a dangerous field.
I've got over 6,000 pieces of Weird Al memorabilia sitting in this room with me. So I could go on.
What's
for
your
quite
favorite
a bit.
Tub that you put stuff in?
What do you recommend at the Container Store?
The first thing that, I mean, there's a lot I could talk about a lot. I mean, I have Weird Al's glasses, I have his shoes, I have a whole bunch of stuff. But the one thing
what size are the shoes?
They're 10 and a half. They actually fit the same exact shoe size that I wear. And wow. I've actually worn the shoes that are in the This Is the Life music video. I've worn them out to a Weird Al concert before.
Yes.
And, and I've actually... I asked Al to try them back on again, and there's a picture of me that exists somewhere with him wearing one of his Vans. I'm wearing one of his Vans on one of my feet, and he's wearing the This Is the Life shoe on the other foot.
Reason I asked was because we did a trivia episode of my show, and one of the answers was Weird Al's shoe size. And from somebody who has Weird Al shoes in his house, I wanted to make sure that we were correct. So retroactively, you can't fact check me,
there
bitches.
but the first thing that popped in my mind that I love bringing out for people is I was able to acquire the X-rays that were used in the Like a Surgeon music video.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
So the ones that are in the video. So I like those. My wife brought home from her office one of those light boxes that, you know, the people put the X-rays up on, you know. So I have one of those, and I'll bring out the X-ray. I'll light up the light box, and I'll put the X-rays up there. And it's one of my favorite things to show people who come to see my collection.
That's way cool. Now, this is also a related note, because if and when we need to clone Weird Al, we're just going to go to your house.
This is like
Dave's got enough of Al's DNA that definitely you could.
Do you have the mustache?
This is why I always feel like a bad fan, because like I've never been much of a memorabilia person in general. So like I don't have an answer to this, which like makes me feel like I'm not qualified to be doing a Weird Al podcast, honestly.
No, but this is great. This is like different genres of fans.
Yeah, but that's like
here.
It's like I guess like the closest thing I could say is like I'm digitizing. I just hooked up an ability for me to digitize all these VHS tapes that I have in my life because I'm trying to like downgrade. And the most fun has been digitizing when I would just tape stuff off of television, because mm-hmm. I'm getting like all these old vintage commercials and stuff. But I absolutely have on one of the tapes, the first time I ever heard Weird Al was I was watching The Box and someone ordered Amish Paradise on The Box. And I have like on one of the tapes is just the screen of all the videos that you could order on The Box and someone dialing in Amish. I think it was me dialing in Amish Paradise to watch the video. Like I called in so I could tape a copy of the video for myself. So I found that tape recently. Like that's pretty cool and sentimental.
That's
but
cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been a broke boy my entire life. So it's usually like, ooh, do I get this rare thing or do I eat tonight? And I usually went with the eat option.
Well, Weird Al would approve.
And I flossed after eating. I always made sure to eat my broccoli
always
and floss. So.
After eating broccoli.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Only broccoli.
I have stuff that I can't talk about. That would be the stuff I would want to talk about. But I will show you something that...
That's a great answer.
It's your wiener.
I would talk about something that probably nobody else has. I don't know if Dave even has this. This is a piece of bread that I collected on February 14th, 2022, on the set of Weird the Al Yankovic Story.
Is this like on-screen bread or is this craft services bread?
I'm not even
bread?
Like sure if I'm proud or embarrassed for you.
That's
this.
Amazing.
No, that was on-screen bread because and Ethan, actually, you did offer me to split your piece of bread in half, but I declined. So you're right. I do not have a piece of bread. I do have a piece of popcorn from that.
I do have a piece of popcorn in there
but
too.
I don't have the, yes.
Yeah.
But I do not have the bread. But yes.
But so spoiler alert, Dave and I. Make a little cameo in Weird the Al Yankovic Story. So we, as collectors, did whatever we could to take whatever we could to get in trouble.
That's amazing. Wow.
Say, just since it's right next to me right here, this is a button that I wore on my biker vest, and it is an exact replica of the one that Al wears in the music video for I Love Rocky Road.
Nice.
And this was given to me by Kenneth Gwynup, who is an insanely incredible Weird Al collector. And he was able to track down this exact button. And he knows it's the exact button because he also has the actual button that Weird Al wore in the video for I Love Rocky Road. You can see it on the cover of Bermuda's book. And then after I wore this in the film, he gifted me the actual button. So it's kind of crazy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow.
I feel like I need to give him this one.
Actually, looking at that button did remind me that very recently for the show, I impromptu bought Bubaloo music. Just because I was like, I didn't know that Al did this thing. But that was more expensive than I normally would buy a used CD in 2024. But that's probably the closest thing to some weird... like deep cut thing. Matt, I kind of love that you tracked down a vinyl version of Peter and the Wolf just before we did those
I was gonna
episodes.
Say
wow. Yeah,
that was the thing I just got. That's like the most that I could say. I'm a record collector guy. You can see some in the background over here, but like I have a lot of vinyl. That's like I love vinyl records, and that was the only big one that I didn't have that took me forever to find. I actually he had it at one point on the first leg of the Vanity Tour. I saw it at the merch table at show where he had got the stuff from his, you know, garage or wherever he found, and I didn't buy it. And then I got home that night. I was like, what was I thinking? Not getting that. That was so stupid. And then it took me years more to actually finally find one, but I did. So now I have that. So that's
nice.
That's in the world of Al rarities. I mean, it pales in comparison to bread, but it's the best I got. No, that's it's you guys are that's incredible. That's next level stuff you guys have. Amazing.
So yeah, I am jealous of the Peter and the Wolf. That's the one thing I don't have that I wish I did have. But
you'll find it.
You know,
give it time. You'll find it.
No, I know. Yeah. I'm not like it's gonna happen. Trust me. My
it's gonna come to you. Yeah.
My husband's a vinyl guy who very literally sold a 2000 record vinyl collection to move here to live with me. So,
he really likes you.
Wow,
he sure does. Yeah, he kept two things from the vinyl collection. Weird Al box set was one of them. So anyway, this is weird, you know, because you're asking like specific like Weird Al memorabilia, like what's the thing physically like that means the most to you and. I'm looking around this room that I'm in and I've got like posters and like autographs and stuff. Like I'm looking at them on my walls and I live in this room. This is my office. Like I sit over there when I work and I sit over here when I podcast. Right. And so it's weird. It's a weird question to answer. Cause like, I don't have a piece of bread from being on a movie set. I don't have like that, like rare, like one vinyl thing that I want. Like I have the box set that like a lot of Weird Al collectors want because like it's you can't get that now unless you have like, you know, an exorbitant amount of money lying around. Right.
And people didn't care about vinyl as much even a couple years ago when it came out. So it didn't make a lot of them.
So my now husband cared. He bought it when it happened. And I was like, great, I'm going to marry you. Right. And like, I think like if I had this is like, this is not the answer that you were looking for to this question, but this is very literally the answer that I have to this question is that Weird Al and the stuff and the whole thing that he is got me the life that I have today with who I have it with today. So I can't name any one thing, right? I can't name any one piece of stuff that I have, you know, because I've got my Weird Al Jeopardy medals, which, you know, like y'all also have. And like, you know, like we have these things, right? And we have these moments and we have all of this stuff. But I'm about to cry. But I very literally have the life that I have because of what Weird Al gave me. And I've found somebody in a very weird way, again, because he had a he didn't even live here, you know, because he had a podcast. We found each other because we both love Weird Al. And he's like, oh, crap. She loves Weird Al as much as I do. And this is what happens. And we are about to have our first wedding anniversary. And I have this because of Weird Al. And there's nothing. There is no piece of anything that could top that. And I'm just so happy. And I'm so happy to have had this conversation with y'all today. And thank you. Thank you.
No, that's
everybody.
That's like a beautiful reminder. Cause like, yeah, if you take a step outside of that, like I've loved comedy and podcasting since as long as I've known comedy and podcasting to exist. So the fact that like by just creating a dumb little podcast about how much I loved Weird Al that I got to talk to Paul Scheer for an hour, like that is, there's no poster that I could hang on my wall that is going to be as important as like that conversation was to me. Like I think that was the perfect answer. Like the absolute perfect answer, Lauren.
Thank you. Yeah, like literally, I have a husband laying in bed with two dogs right now that's waiting for me after this.
That's
literally
a pretty good
because
piece
of Weird Al.
Yeah.
So you know, there we go.
I'll trade you some bread, Lauren.
You're my husband.
Hey, consider it. Consider it.
Hey,
you
if the box set comes with the dogs and the husband, I think it's a good deal.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, he's worth it.
All right, folks, that's a good moment to get to our last thing that we do on this podcast. Speaking of things that are convoluted and hard to explain to our guests, here we go. You know what? It's really hard for us to compare two pieces of art because we're subjective human beings and we're all Weird Al fans. So if I was to pose the question, who created the better song, Tiffany or Weird Al? Well, we would all say Weird Al and just be done with the day. But what if we asked science? Nay, what if we asked the future? In comes GetSongBPM.com, a website that takes any audio track at all and converts it into five measurable qualities. We will pit both of these songs against each other. The song to win three out of these five rounds will be deemed the better song, all of which will be recorded on, yes, you were right, Ethan, the Word Crimes notebook, where we record all of the scores from all of the shows.
Nice.
Now, we have a strange number of people in
how
that
we, doing this?
We have too many people. So what we're going to do is we need Team Weird Al and Team Tiffany. I will be in a non-team, so we need two teams of three. Now, we have some duos. And if we exclude myself, we then have Andy and Lauren as singletons.
Right.
So if we have a singleton added to a duo, we will have two teams of three.
We're betting real money, right?
Oh, yeah.
$27 to charity?
$27. I like that. Here we go.
Okay.
In one corner, we have Team Tiffany with... And then I wrote everyone's name in the wrong spot with Lauren,
Lauren and
Matthew. And then
MLM.
We have Team Weird Al with Andy,
multi-level
Ethan,
marketing.
And Dave. That's right. We are pitting against I Think We're Alone Now by Tiffany and I Think I'm a Clone Now by Weird Al Yankovic.
Can I ask
Teams,
you a quick question?
Are you ready?
Well, I want to ask a quick question.
Yeah, that's great.
Is it a pretty even... For all the episodes you've done in the past, would you say it's pretty evenly split or has it leaned more towards original artist or Al in the past?
No, I'm not yet into the spreadsheet part of that.
Okay.
So I could technically start adding these things up. And I'm sort of waiting for this podcast to become really famous and popular so that somebody else, like a fan, does that.
Yeah, your own
that
little Wikipedia page.
Oh, they need
occur.
An intern. Yeah. Y'all going to share your intern?
Exactly.
Tim, does... Do you upload the song, or does it take it from Spotify or something?
Spotify.
This is already on the website.
Okay.
But the website just takes data from Spotify.
Got it.
So GetSung BPM is just a couple guys in Sweden who made a website that's just linking stuff to Spotify, yeah, okay. and they're just getting ad revenue.
Right.
And we emailed them once.
They're Swedish, though. They're Swedish, though. So that means they know what they're doing when it comes to pop music.
Yes, they do.
That's right. Fair.
Pros.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to sidetrack.
All right. Team Tiffany, what is the tempo of I Think We're Alone Now?
129 BPM, 129.
Excellent. Good, good, good. Okay. Now, Team Weird Al, what's the tempo of I Think I'm a Clone Now?
135.
135. Ooh, all right. Round one goes to Weird Al.
Is more beats, is that better? Is
yes.
More
that's what we're saying.
Better. Yes. Ethan.
Ethan, more is always better.
I was going to let it slide.
Okay.
I called it out.
Don't worry. Weird Al's going to win this, so just shut up and move on.
This does follow the logic that, like, parodies, no, like, speeds up some songs to make them
exactly
faster, whatever it is.
Got it.
Or these are wrong, or whatever. Here we go. The next... Lauren, what's the name of the next parameter?
Danceability.
Okay. Matt and Matthew, what is the danceability of Tiffany's song?
76.
76.
That seems good.
Yeah, that's
feel
a
like
high.
That's pretty good.
That's a high danceability.
Team Weird Al, what's the danceability of I Think I'm a Clone Now?
Should we all say it at the same time as best we can in a Zoom meeting?
It's a palindrome.
Ready? Yeah.
The number is a palindrome.
It is. It is.
Oh, it's 77.
77.
Oh.
I won.
Wow. That's exciting.
We're all rooting for Weird Al to win, you know.
We're all rooting for Al.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'm still rooting for Al, but I mean, I feel like Tiffany's has to be more danceable because Al's, you're like,
no, she's Tiffany sucks. Move on.
When you listen to Al's, you're rubbing your chin and you're thinking about science.
No, but you contemplating life. Science.
Scientists are some of the best dancers this world has.
That's true. Okay.
Energy.
Fair enough.
Energy.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Energy. Next category is energy.
Energy. Hey, Team Tiffany, what's the energy of I Think We're Alone Now?
Milligan, you can take the lead on this one.
Okay, the energy is 73. Wow.
Pretty energetic.
Wow,
you guys said, wow, last time, and then you still beat us.
I think there's a clean sweep happening here.
Team Weird Al, what's the energy of I Think I'm a Clone Now?
It's very close to a Weird Al number. We all know 27 is the Weird Al number, but a Weird Al number is also 62, and this one's 63. Mm.
Wow.
Ten
less energy. Well, you guys,
but still more danceable.
Well, listen,
more danceable, less energy. That's a rare quality.
These next two categories are rough.
How the heck does that happen? All right.
Yeah. Matt, what do you mean?
No,
what's
we got
the next
this.
Category called,
acousticness.
Matt? Okay, we have a professional musician in the house. What do you suppose acousticness means?
I have to assume it's level of which it is acoustic. That is not a term. No one has ever said that ever. That is definitely, this is for sure a Swedish website.
As a former member of the American Guild of Organists, I'm going to say 3. It means nothing. It doesn't mean anything.
A 3 acousticness.
That's our acousticness levels.
Wow. But that's our acousticness. And I think that's all that it means. Yeah. Is like acousticness equals 3.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the definition of that word.
Yeah. I have a problem with the word acousticness. I think it should be acousticity.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so much better.
Yeah.
Write GetSung BPM and get them to change it.
Okay.
Seriously, yeah.
They're Swedish. They won't complain about you.
I'm now very unsure whether or not they're Swedish, but I'm glad we've said it 1,000 times so that
the headcanon in there for on good. This show is they are Swedish.
Yeah. There we go.
Tim, the Swedes are going to come at you very, very aggressively.
Team Weird Al, what's the acousticness of I Think I'm a Clone Now?
It's 5.
Well, Weird Al officially won this one.
More acoustic.
All right.
This is a crazy website. You
yeah, but the next one's worth two, right?
The next category.
Oh yeah.
I know this doesn't matter, but it's liveness.
Liveness. We've already established. So we've already established that I Think I'm a Clone Now has never been performed live. Yeah. So is that not our score at all?
That was also a three for Weird Al.
Yeah,
a three for Tiffany.
For Tiffany.
Tiffany. Yes, not live. So all those times she did it in the malls, not
never
live.
Got live. Mm.
It was a Milli Vanilli.
Exactly.
Well, I think Weird Al almost had a shutout. Seven.
Almost.
Seven on liveness.
Wow, that's a 4-1 Weird Al victory, everyone.
Woot.
Which is what we want.
Well, you know what? Do you guys feel like, I know Matt said it earlier, does it feel like it's a somewhat even split? Do the original artists sometimes win?
Well, if you talk among yourselves, I'll start counting.
I don't need an exact number. I just mean, like, has Al ever lost?
The fact that it's even close enough that you have to count. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is all. I listen to Weird Pals, and also have been on Weird Pals, and it's oddly even.
Nice.
In my experience, listening to this, because of how weird this site is.
Yeah.
But I feel like Al should always, just based on us covering his stuff lately, like, I feel like he should always win on the tempo. It always feels like his covers are just like half a step
a little faster. Just a touch.
There's, you know, but I mean, that's just one category. I don't even, like, I would love to know what all of these other things mean.
Well, two of them
but
mean nothing.
At the same time,
they
it's
are
fun.
Nonsense. Yeah.
No, exactly. Nothing means anything. And everything means nothing.
The most fun is when we have to decide what song to compare the parody to, because it's like a pastiche, and there's like people who are like debating what song is closest, and there's some that have like very little information on like which song in particular.
See, that I think would be more interesting to me than like the because to me I feel like the direct parodies, it's like how far off can this thing fully read two songs?
Yeah. Well, I can walk you through a previous one. Can you think of a pastiche that's in the first four albums, and I can tell you what song we decided?
Let's go with Dare to Be Stupid, honestly. You mentioned how you felt like the tempo was like fully off on that one.
Wait, for a polka, do you do like an average of all of the songs?
Oh, it's a nightmare.
But is it an average?
See?
Usually we have like a weird episode to substitute for what all that nightmare would be. So we've done like a call-in show, a live show, and a murder mystery party for the parody, for the polka episodes, so that we just do something else.
Yeah. I'm so glad I moved away from anything qualitative. Yeah. On my show anymore because like that's taken a level of stress away from me that I don't think I need to have. And you know, I've actually had this conversation with my husband, and you know, because he's kind of now like my regular-ish co-host-ish on the show, and you know, I have guests and stuff on a lot of the time also. But it's like, man, I was letting this show stress me out in ways that it didn't necessarily
have
to.
I'll tell you what's been helping us out is that we take those breaks in between every single album where we'll, like, do this very rigorous, okay, let's rank all of these songs and each song gets its own episode thing. And then once we get done those, like, 12 to 13 episodes, then it's like, let's watch this weird-ass episode of Amazing Stories that Al starred in that, like, has nothing to do with anything and we can just, like, have fun with it. And then we get like a nice month break of that before it's like, all right, now let's get back into like, is I Want a New Duck better or worse than like.
And you know, it's interesting. And so like that's our brains, like cognitively as humans, like to do this whole kind of like, what's better, what's worse, you know, what, you know, this kind of stuff. And it, you know, what I'm doing right now on the show is, since In 3D turns 40 this year, I'm going through track by track with guests, each just straightforward, straight through track by track, each song on the album. And we're just talking about what works, what maybe doesn't work. What do we think, you know, what do we love about it? What don't we love about it? And then ranking it on a scale of 1 to 27 and then just saying, have a good day, people. You know, let's ranking a song on itself. And I think it's interesting to like not pit stuff against each other instead of just kind of like, let's appreciate each one thing for what it is And that's been fun and refreshing for me. So that's kind of where my show is going. And it's, I will tell you, I feel like,
I
feel a lot better.
I love it until we do an episode where we really don't like the song. And then I imagine that Al decides to check us out that specific week. And he's just like, ooh, I really want to hear what they think about toothless people. And we're just like, oh, no.
Well, I'll tell you what. I looked at y'all's rankings on stuff, and I saw that you both had toothless people where you did. And I would argue you on that because I don't love toothless people. But I will tell you what. There's some greatness in toothless people.
And if you want to listen to that discussion, there are other podcasts that cover it. My goodness. The one question I had was we for Devo, Dare to Be Stupid, we decided to pick Time Out for Fun.
Okay. Cool. Perfect.
That's what I can tell you.
And who won?
Worth the wait.
Who did win that?
Devo.
Devo won.
Yeah.
Boo.
Devo won.
Boo, yeah, the great Devo.
We did have a tie because one of the numbers was the same, and then it was 2-2 after that. And that was when we did Buffalo Soldier versus Buy Me a Condo. So,
ooh.
Those are the fun facts.
That's
I
a
got
tie.
For
that's
you.
Good. Yeah. I like that.
Everyone, thank you so much for coordinating and spending your time together over Zoom. This was a delight and a secret hope of mine for like the last year and a half or whatever of just like, let's cram as many people in as possible and just see what happens. And you all are wonderful players. This, in case everyone has anything specific event-wise to plug or mention, I will tell you when this, hopefully, will come out. April 29th.
Oh, that's my half birthday.
Yay.
Oh. So reach out to Lauren and say happy half birthday.
It's my 11/12th birthday.
11/12th birthday.
I guess okay, so weird algorithm. Check us out. We just did an episode on She Never Told Me She Was a Mime, which is a song that a lot of people don't like, but we thought was perfectly fine.
Nice.
Another spoiler alert, I guess, on this episode of Weird Pals.
So Dave and Ethan's 2000-inch Weird Al podcast, that's our show. We try and do it once a week, and sometimes some bonus episodes come out. And really our focus is we try and talk to people who have affected or worked with Al or someone in his life. And that's everyone from, you know, his band to people who've worked on Weird the Al Yankovic Story to, I'll plug a very special episode. We interviewed his former dentist. So you get the full spectrum of Weird Al connections on our podcast. And 2000inch.com or, sorry, everyone else, weirdalpodcast.com.
Oh, you snatched that up?
That. Nice.
Sorry, everyone.
That's okay. You know, you got to get those domains while you can, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so the Beard Al podcast is a podcast where we talk about two of the greatest things in the world, beer and Weird Al. And it's mostly Weird Al. I just, I have beer while I do it, and it's fine. But it's, we are currently working through celebrating the 40th anniversary of the Weird Al Yankovic and 3D album, where I have guests on to talk about what they love about the tracks on the album and just kind of how they affected them and all that sort of stuff. And the thing that I like to do on the show is kind of get into the, like, what does Weird Al mean to you as a human being kind of stuff, you know, like how has Weird Al's music and who he is affected you and kind of made you who you are and changed the way you interact with the world around you? Because I know that being a Weird Al fan has made me a better person, and I like talking to people for whom that is also true, and they definitely bring that to the fore every time that they come on my show. So my show is very, you know, positive, all that stuff, and we just have a good time talking about how much Weird Al kind of is the good angel on our shoulder saying, like, hey, you know, dare to be stupid, it's okay.
Love it. Andy, what are we doing next week? This is another bit that always happens.
I used to be better at it.
Wait, where's Lauren? Where's your sound drop?
Oh yeah, sound drop.
Which one?
Wait a minute. I'll go check.
Thank you. Next week we are covering lasagna.
Ooh, there you go. That'll be a good one. Ooh. We'll have another guest on from the San Francisco improv scene, I do believe, if everything works out fine, which will be very fun.
Do you want me to throw in another sound drop for us to be done with the show?
Sure.
Are you done? I don't know. I'm just going to put this in here. You can do whatever you want with it, but here I have it.
And then that's when the security guard threw us out.
Excellent. We do have to end our show, and we end it by saying our show's famous catchphrase.
It's not that famous.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.